Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm Robert Holly with Home Healthcare News. Before we jump into my conversation with Family Resource Home Care CEO Jeff Weiberg, I want to give a shout out to our podcast sponsor, Homecare Homebase, whose powerful cloud-based home health software streamlines virtually every aspect of your business. Spend less time on paperwork and more time delivering quality care to the patients who need you. Visit hchb.com to learn more. The product of a merger between two of the biggest home care providers in the Pacific Northwest, Family Resource Home Care is now leveraging that scale to dominate its markets and go after emerging Medicare Advantage opportunities. Led by CEO Jeff Weiberg, the company, now with about 1,000 employees, doesn't have plans to stop growing anytime soon either. For a variety of reasons, the days of the small mom-and-pop home care provider are coming to an end, according to Weiberg. I recently caught up with the CEO to learn more about Family Resource Home Care, its plans for the year ahead, and its experience with Medicare Advantage, both positive and negative. I want to now introduce Jeff Weiberg, the CEO of Family Resource Home Care, the largest independent home care company operating out of the Pacific Northwest. Jeff, it's always a pleasure to connect. Thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Disrupt.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate being here.
So we first connected, I think, in fall of last year when news broke that Family Home Care, your former company, and Family Resource Home Care were joining forces. They were merging. We'll get into, you know, some of the reasons behind that in just a second. But before doing that, could you just provide some basic background on Family Resource Home Care?
Sure. So as you just mentioned, Family Resource Home Care was ultimately birthed out of the joint venture between two home care agencies that were some of the largest home care agencies in the Pacific Northwest already. And we saw a distinct opportunity for us to be able to combine resources and forces to be able to meet the opportunities and challenges that the home care industry is facing here currently and in what we see as the foreseeable future. The history of the companies is actually pretty long. Family Home Care has been operating in the home care space since 1966. To date, I have not been able to find any examples of another personal care service of our type across the United States. So we very well may be one of the oldest, if not the oldest. And back then, it was individuals visiting people in their home to help them out with their activities of daily living. And they were in stark white uniforms with little nurse caps on their heads. And we've certainly come a long way since then. But what hasn't changed much is the compassionate care that that we provide.
And just in terms of size, could you give our listeners an idea of, you know, how big your company is, all the different kinds of services it provides, and its areas of operation?
Sure, absolutely. So right now we have 8 locations across the state of Washington and 2 locations serving 3 markets in Idaho. And so right now we're nestled in the Pacific Northwest with certain plans to be able to continue to grow. In fact, since the merger that we talked about, we've already done another acquisition since and are currently working on another. We're closing in on about 1,000 employees, serving a client census, average daily census of about 1,000 as well. The services that we provide are your traditional personal care services. So assistance with the activities of daily living or instrumental activities of daily living for individuals who are either disabled or have any other form of need to be able to maintain independence in their residence of choice.
And let's briefly talk about this initial merger between Family Resource Home Care and Family Home Care. Though I know, as you mentioned, there have been other deals since then. But how did that first come together? You know, when did conversations really kind of start? And what was the major motivating factor for doing something like this?
Yeah. So my business partner, David Lawrence, owned Family Resource, and my family owned Family Home Care. And David and I had known each other for years, having served on the state board together. And David, nearing the end of his career, he and I had started up some conversations about what we foresaw as being the future of the industry, some of the opportunities as well as some headwinds that the industry might be experiencing, and recognizing that it's really going to take a degree of scale and sophistication in order to be able to really truly be successful in the future, and that there's going to be some consolidation that happens within the industry. And we felt if that's going to be taking place, a wave, if you will, of consolidation, then we might as well ride the top of that wave instead of being crushed by it. And so we began just some very cursory discussions around what it would look like if we combined our two companies together. Those initial conversations really started in the spring of 2017 and finally came to fruition January 1st, 2018. So we're roughly 18 months into the merger since then and have been executing on our original thesis.
Before covering the home health and home care industries, I used to report on agribusiness. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners know only a handful of companies kind of dominate the agribusiness space. So it's been really fun for me to, you know, report on, as you said, this wave of consolidation that is just now hitting home care, where there's still, you know, thousands of agencies out there.
Correct. Yes. In fact, just a huge degree of fragmentation. About 17,000 agencies still exist, with the average size being less than $2 million in revenue. Mm-hmm. And though I love the fact that small businesses can thrive within this space, I think that those days are coming swifter to an end because of the needed additional resources and sophistication and data and so forth that we need to be able to bring home care to the overall healthcare table.
And just briefly, could you provide some background on the other acquisition or deal that Family Resource Home Care completed?
Yeah, sure. So in December of 2018, we completed what's referred to as a tuck-in acquisition of an agency named Cascade Inn Home Care. It's about a $4 million operation in northwestern Washington. So it put us into another large market within Washington State that we had previously not been serving.
I feel so often in having these conversations with home care leaders, you find out that they got into this business due to a personal story or just some interesting experience. What about you? What's your background and how did you get into home care in the first place?
Yeah, great question. In my case, I actually come from a big business background. So I educated in business administration and then worked for publicly traded companies and found that some of the culture aspects of working for publicly traded companies was not to my taste. Was recruited by a small home health, hospice, and home care agency named Family Home Care out of Spokane, Washington, to join their executive team about 12 years ago. And in so doing, really discovered some of the beauty behind what it is that we provide as an industry, fell quite frankly in love with the industry, saw a lot of the opportunity that exists because of the demographics and the need and the demand for the services that we provide. So worked in that role for about 5 years before there was an offer from a large nationally recognized brand to purchase our home health and hospice divisions, but they didn't want the home care. And so when that offer came in, I immediately made my interest in purchasing the home care division from the former owner of Family Home Care. And he said, sure, let's make that happen. Get me through this first transition and then we'll work on that deal, which was ultimately consummated in 2013. And as part of my role as an executive with Family Home Care, we had developed a plan to be able to grow the company quite extensively over a 5-year period of time to about $100 million in revenue. And having this unsolicited, out-of-the-blue offer that he couldn't refuse, that put those plans completely on hold. But when my family took possession of Family Home Care in 2013, we began executing on that original idea of consolidating the industry and bringing a different level of sophistication that you don't oftentimes see within the home care space. And that's been the ride ever since. We've been growing at a rate of 29% every year since that time.
I want to spend a portion of this conversation talking specifically about Medicare Advantage, because I know that that was also one of the drivers behind Family Resource Home Care's decision to come together in that merger. Medicare Advantage has to do with those benefits of scale that you kind of touched on previously. Where is Family Resource Home Care right now on the MA front and establishing those relationships with MA plans in 2019 and then looking ahead to 2020 and beyond?
Great question. So I would say that right now as an industry, the Home Care Association of America has been interfacing with the association that represents all the Medicare Advantage plans across the country and attempting to first do some education. So that education is to help understand the value proposition that we bring to the table and provide an avenue for producing some data, and then also helping them to understand some of the cost dynamics. Because initially when CMS allowed for this additional supplemental benefit late in 2018 for the 2019 plans, there was a relatively very few MA plans that actually engaged in that in the course of 2019. Mm-hmm. And from my own personal perspective, that was more of a foray, an experiment, if you will, to see what was the appetite by the consumer, and then what would actually occur. And if anybody's a student of Medicare Advantage plans, you know that the vast majority of the dollars are being spent on the population that has low functionality and high incidence of multiple chronic illness, which is really the bread and butter of the home care space. And what we have lacked as an industry is really being able to quantify and track the clinical outcomes from the populations that we're managing. And so the play that Family Resource has engaged in is really gathering that data set. And then what our plan is to continue to watch some of the trends within the MA space. We are starting to see some movements where MA plans are starting to reimburse a little bit more reasonably, and then as well as authorizing enough hours to where we could truly make an impact upon the populations that we're attempting to manage for them, and keeping them out of the highest cost scenarios, and helping to drive down the overall claims experience for that population. Once that data is really accumulated, it's my belief that MA plans will then have those actuarial figures that help them to see the true value of what home care can do for their plan, and that we'll see it become more of a ubiquitous benefit that's being offered as a differentiator for the MA plans, and then also as a mechanism to drive down their overall expense ratios.
Do you think that Medicare Advantage could ultimately be profitable for home care providers? I've heard some back and forth on this. Some people think that it's not necessarily the rates from MA plans that would be the big boost to business, but just bringing more potential clients into the home care fold who maybe otherwise wouldn't have turned to home care as a service.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that one of the consequences of our high fragmentation within the industry is there's not a real solid voice to describe to the consumer or potential customers the distinct advantage that home care has over other forms of long-term care. And so what it does do is gets us in front of more opportunities. And specifically, there are several MA plans who are themselves also a medical provider. Mm-hmm. And so as the plans start to utilize home care more ubiquitously, I think you'll also see providers come into play that way as well through the MCO world, which is particularly back east. But I think that we'll also start to see some of that out here in the west as well, because the trend tends to be your friend in this industry. Everybody in healthcare is looking for opportunities to be able to increase their population health measures and to drive down risk, to drive up outcomes. We're really seeing more focus around outcomes-based, not only reimbursement, just the focus itself within the healthcare industry. And so as they see best practice coming to fruition, it'll start to be mimicked around the country. I personally think that there is still yet to be an opportunity for MA in and of itself to be a driver. If you get enough volume and the reimbursement is correct, I think that there's some distinct opportunity to drive some business there. And I think that having MA plans with contracts in your given market will also be a value proposition when you're talking to the traditional professional referral sources that we all rely upon to describe how many more reimbursement models that we as an industry are engaged with.
Contracting with an MA plan isn't a very easy process. It could be difficult to you know, form those inroads or even find plans interested in doing in-home services and supports. In your view, what are the keys to finding those, you know, very tangible opportunities and then actually converting on them? For example, sounds like, in your opinion, data is, you know, very big for a home care provider to be able to gather.
Data is absolutely key. It's not really hard, actually, to get a hold of what are the highest utilizers of MA plan dollars, and what are the diagnoses that are problematic for those plans. And a lot of those diagnoses have a significant crossover with how we bring solutions to the table within the home care space. So number one is tracking that data, and then getting meetings with MA plans that are in your particular market can be difficult, especially because there's a lot of MA plans that just themselves are not sure what they want to do with this. And so rushing to try to create a lot of noise today may not be as effective as gathering that data and may allowing it to be a slower burn. Here's where some of the experience that, for example, I have in the Medicare certified home health world has come into use, because we have had MA contracts for years with the Medicare certified agency that we used to own. And so some of those contacts still exist. And it is easy to identify what plans are in your area. And then once you have the data, you have the contacts with the MA plans, then the value proposition in our case is going to be our saturation of the marketplace that they're serving, that we really can serve a vast majority of the clients that they've got within the major population centers of at least Washington and Idaho at this stage.
And just to confirm, it sounds like Family Resource Home Care is taking a cautious, a wait and see approach, making sure you have everything in hand for when you start approaching plans to actually contract with them. Or do you have anything that you've been doing in 2019 so far?
So specifically what I'm doing right now is we're converting our point of care software into a new platform, and we've designed that platform around tracking data. So that has been our first play, that we're going to be tracking the data that is important to not only MA plans, but also to the skilled nursing facility community and the hospital community, based upon the principles of accountable care organizations, because I believe data is going to be extremely key to being able to have a seat at the table, to have more strategic conversations. Then what our play is to do pilots. We're designing pilots around specific segments or stratifications of patients coming out of a hospital system. And we want to be able to study that population against a control group to be able to demonstrate demonstrably that there is a positive outcome correlation when home care is used.
That totally makes sense. I want to shift gears a little bit. So you were also in April, one of our panelists at the Capital and Strategy Forum in Washington, D.C. At that event, you talked about, you know, how the thesis for why you wanted to grow Family Resource Home Care was being able to really get deep penetration within your markets. Maybe not necessarily expand across a broad region, but really be deep and concentrated in your key areas of focus. Could you elaborate on that idea? Why kind of pursue growth in that fashion?
Well, I think that home care's consolidation is really coming late to the party within healthcare overall. We've seen a lot of consolidation of very large systems from hospitals on down, both acute and post-acute, within all the geographies of the United States. So for us to be able to create a real consistent network of agencies, if you will, that all have the same quality outcomes, the same policies, procedures, and the same way of engaging, means that a hospital in Seattle, for example, who might be seeing a patient who lives in Eastern Washington, or even Idaho for that matter, can know with the surety that when they refer to Family Resource, that we're going to be able to serve that population. Because we don't just have a small territory or a single site from which we're trying to operate. So that market penetration for us is a value proposition to the larger referral sources that we're seeing in the space, in healthcare overall, and who are in the position to make those referrals. Like in Washington, we're in 9 of the top 10 population counties in the state, and several more besides. That kind of saturation within the Washington state market basically means that we can serve near 80% of the entire population of the state. That's pretty significant for any single site or single home care agency.
And this is just a quick reminder that we're talking to Jeff Weiberg, CEO of Family Resource Home Care, which operates throughout the Pacific Northwest, Washington, and Idaho, to be exact. Jeff, what's the rest of 2019 going to look like for Family Resource Home Care?
Well, so for Family Resource, we're going to continue our process of doing some of that data gathering, execute on those pilots that I'm referring to. Mm-hmm. We're also looking into some technology plays to bring some technology components into the service offerings that we currently provide. And then I would say that continuing our mergers and acquisitions activity in late 2019, early 2020 is certainly on the horizon. We've got a few things in the works.
So you're based out of Washington State, which recently passed a long-term care law / tax, I think it was in May. In a nutshell, that required state residents to pay into a long-term care program through an employee payroll tax, if I'm not mistaken. The idea by doing that is that residents down the road would have access to, I think, like $36,000 plus in financial support, you know, for things like in-home care or meal deliveries, when those things would become a necessity. What's your take on that move? Good idea, bad idea?
Well, I certainly think it's a good idea because my team was very instrumental in getting it passed.
I would imagine you've
spent a lot. I spent a lot of time myself in Olympia talking with legislators specifically about the advantages of doing that. And so the simple fact is this, 70% of us are going to require long-term care at some point in our lives. However, the vast majority of us are not prepared financially for that obligation. And it's not something that's necessarily really sexy to think about of, oh man, what am I going to do when I become disabled or have a memory issue or something of that nature. So taking a proactive step to essentially purchasing long-term care insurance for every citizen in the state of Washington at the rate that we're doing it is actually very inexpensive if you compare to the open market. And that's what the economy of scale gets you within the state of Washington. And even though I'm personally not a huge fan of additional taxes, I think that this is truly one of those areas where this kind of an intervention is going to be really beneficial, not only to the consumer, but then also to the medical outcome for the entire population. The motivation by the state was to keep people kind of hedging them against getting onto Medicaid and dealing with the change in the demographics that's coming down the pipe of the so-called age wave. And in our case, we think it's a huge opportunity to make home care more accessible, especially financially speaking, to more of the population within our state. Currently, I'm aware that there are four other states that are considering legislation that are somewhat modeled on what Washington has done. We're the first in the nation to do it. And I think it's going to be something that a lot of folks are going to be keeping an eye on to see how successful it becomes.
And we only have a couple of minutes left, so we'll try to breeze through the next two or three questions. Wanted to ask you about retention and turnover strategies. In 2018, as our listeners probably know, industry turnover hovered around 82%. What's Family Resource Home Care doing in that regard?
Well, fortunately, our personal retention and our turnover statistics are much less than that. In fact, in 2019, we're averaging a retention of 68%. So turnover of, 32%, which is pretty great for our industry. And this is where economy of scale can really come into play as well. Our ability to be able to offer leading wages, leading benefits, comprehensive benefits packages, a lot of engagement activities, education and upward mobility tracks is indicative of a larger agency because I can have dedicated resources that are really focused in on those types of activities rather than just doing the daily grind of that is home care. And so I think that Family Resource has done a good job of taking advantage of our economy of scale in that regard. And for me personally, the retention and acquisition of talent is not my number one concern, which is, as you know, from the benchmarking survey, not true of the vast majority of our industry. That continues to be the number one concern. And for me, that's shifted And I would say that that's as a direct result to some of the strategies that we've been able to put into play.
So in addition to, you know, being the CEO of Family Resource Home Care, you're also on the board of the Home Care Association of America. So I'm guessing you have a pretty good feel for what's going on throughout the country in the home care world. What are some other hot issues right now that have caught your attention?
Yeah, so I would say that some of the tailwinds that the industry is experiencing right now are the shift in demographics, obviously, a lot of demand. There's a lot more of the healthcare continuum that's acknowledging home care as a legitimate player, and that's very, very exciting. The headwinds that we're experiencing, obviously, number one priority is the number of available caregivers. And so some of the work that we're doing at the national level is creating some additional accessibility for both the workers and as well as the consumers to pay for home care. We'll be lobbying here in summer of 2019 for the Credit for Caring Act, which provides similar to a child care tax credit, but this time for family members who are requiring home care services that will make home care much more affordable. And then we're also trying to work with the Department of Labor on softening mechanisms to get more individuals to come into the home care space. The Bureau of Labor Statistics puts home care workers as some of the most in-demand positions and the highest amount of growth. And so to be able to deal with some of that, we want to work with within the DOL to provide ease of pathways for individuals to get into this industry. And that does include engaging with legal immigration to bring in the type of skill level and acumen that would do very well within the home care space. So that's some of our biggest priorities that we're working on at the present time, in addition to some of that education with MA plans that I previously mentioned.
Well, I think that's a good spot to wrap. That's about all we have time for on this episode of Disrupt. Jeff, it's been great catching up and can't wait to see what Family Resource Home Care does next. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. Appreciate having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com. I'm Robert Holly, and this has been a production of Aging Media Network, Chicago, Illinois.